Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Some of you got excited at the movies, isn't starting all over again. Good morning. My name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway. So glad to have each and every one of you with us. Really glad to have a bunch of my extended family here from Arizona and Michigan and multiple places in Michigan. Just love you guys so much and thankful for you. We also have a guest with us, Pastor Ridlin from Norway is here with us, Andreas, his father, and really grateful to have him. He travels around and kind of what we would refer to as an evangelist and is a blessing to the church in Norway. So thankful and grateful to have you. Well, I am so happy today. We're going to just kind of jump right in that you are here for Vision Sunday. Everybody say Vision Sunday. Vision Sunday. So this morning I'm going to preach a standalone message called Don't Settle. So I want you to tell your neighbor, don't settle. Tell your second choice, don't settle. Don't settle. All right. How many here have ever ordered a meal at a restaurant and it came out wrong, cold, or overdone, and you just ate it and paid for it anyway? Come on, let me see your hands. I'm not the only. All right. A bunch of settlers here in the room. All right. How many of you ever craved a handcrafted, hot, caffeinated beverage in the morning, but because you were late to work, you ended up having to get a gas station cup of coffee that had, you know, tasted like it had been on the burner for 14 hours. Come on, let me see your hands. Like, all right, we have a few settlers here in that category. All right, anybody here ever stayed at a job that you hated way too long? Come on, let me see your hands. All right, some settlers, more settlers. I'm going to try to get everybody here. All right, is there anyone here who has had all the ingredients at home necessary to make an amazing dinner, but instead you settled for the drive-thru at Taco Bell or McDonald's and you regretted it all night? Come on, let me see your hands. Yeah, a whole bunch of us are guilty there, right? Anybody here ever had a chance to take a risk to do something you love, but instead you decided to play it safe and stay put? Come on, let me see your hands. This one's a little bit more closer to home. All right, great. Anybody here settle for your spouse? That was a trick question. I got a few people. Don't. Oh, man, now we're going to have to do a marriage series next week. A cunning entrepreneur decided to open 2 6-story stores, a husband's store and a wife's store, located directly across the street from each other. And the rules were simple. Once the person paid the membership to get in, they could visit the store just one time, and the cost of the products increased with each successive floor. And the shopper could choose any of the men or women to be their spouse or to be their spouse from a particular floor, or they could decide to move up to shop on the next floor. However, the rule stated that once you went up a floor, you could not go back down except to exit the building. And so a lady who had been searching for Mr. Right for a very long period of time paid the expensive membership fee required to get into the husband's store. And as she entered the first floor, the sign on the door read, "Men who have a great job." And so she glanced around intrigued, and then she thought, well, a great job is nice, but I want more. I'm not going to settle. And so she continued up to the second floor where the sign read, "Men who have great jobs and love children." And so she briefly browsed the available husbands, but after just a few seconds, she decided to take that escalator up to the third floor. And that sign read, "Men who have great jobs, love kids, and are extremely handsome." And so she got really excited, and she thought, wow, this is so amazing. But for some reason, something just compelled her to keep moving up and going to the next floor. Upon arriving to the fourth floor, she read the sign, and immediately her heart skips a beat. The sign says, "Men who have great jobs, love kids, are extremely handsome, and love doing housework." And so she cried out, "How can it get any better than this?" Then she begins to wonder, maybe it can.
And so she decides to head to the fifth floor. And there the sign reads, "Men who have great jobs, they love kids, are extremely handsome, they love doing housework, and they have a great sense of humor." So having finally found what she had always been looking for, she browsed the selection, she picked out a nice husband, and she headed to the register. But as she's walking to the register, something inside of her caused her to set him aside. Anybody ever been in a store and just made a decision in the moment, just left, you know, like milk in the chip aisle, right? Yeah, I know some of you have done that, right? We call that a decision. Like when Shyla and I walk through the grocery store, we're like, somebody made a decision right there, and they just have. And so she's walking there, but she sets him aside and heads up to the sixth floor. This time the sign was one of those fancy digital ones, and it read, "You are visitor 98,215,602. There are no men on this floor. This floor only exists to prove that women are impossible to please. Thank you for shopping at the husband store." A lot of the wives aren't laughing right now. Now, about that same time, a man decided to make the investment. He headed into the wife store. As he walked into the first floor, he was stunned. The sign said, "Women who love to be intimate." Man, the man thought long and hard, but he also decided to go up to the second floor where the sign read, "Women who love to be intimate and are beautiful." And once again, the man was so close. He was almost convinced to choose right there. But curious, he went up to the third floor. And when he got to the third floor, the sign said, "Women who love to be intimate, women who are beautiful, and women who love sports." The fourth, fifth, and sixth floors of the wife store have never been visited. Obviously, this morning, I'm not up here remotely suggesting that anyone here settled for their spouse, but in some way, shape, or form, we've all made choices to settle for less than what God has made us. In fact, Charles Schulz, the man famous for writing the Peanuts cartoons, he said this: "Life is like a 10-speed bike. Most of us have gears that we never use." And so my goal here this morning is to challenge you as an individual and us as a church to keep moving forward. Don't settle. Keep advancing. Keep possessing the dreams that God has placed before us and deep down inside each of us. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at a story from the life of David. It's actually found in 2 Samuel chapter 5. If you've got your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there with us or take out your sermon outline. You can follow along there with us. I encourage you to take some notes. But before we jump into the story, I want to give you a little bit of background. Saul had been anointed to be the first king of the nation of Israel. And the Israelites were God's chosen people, but scripture tells us, as you read through the story, you can see that Saul did what was wicked, what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And so what happened was, even though Saul had been anointed, God took his anointing away from him and God rejected him. And then God had the prophet Samuel then go throughout Israel, and he anointed the next king of Israel, and that was a young man by the name of David. And so even though David had been anointed, it was a great thing, he was not immediately placed on the throne over Israel. In fact, he served Saul, and he became a mighty warrior. And because the hand of God was upon David, he was blessed and extremely successful in all that he did. His exploits on the battlefield became famous in the nation. People would sing songs about him, so much so that Saul grew jealous of David. And scripture tells us that on numerous occasions, Saul tried to kill David. And so David left and he went into exile. And Bible scholars kind of have tried to do some research. It doesn't really tell us exactly how long, but some believe that it was up to 7 years that David spent running and hiding and moving from place to place in order to protect his life. And because of Saul's poor leadership, the nation of Israel, what was made up of 12 tribes, or what we would understand in our society, 12 states, splintered apart. And the story goes on. Saul is eventually killed in battle. And so initially, when David became the king, he became the king of Judah, which was one of these 12 tribes or 12 states of Israel that had broken apart. And so this is kind of about where we're at. We're going to pick up the story, 2 Samuel 5, starting in verse 1. This is what it says. Then all of the tribes of Israel went to David at Hebron and told him, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the one who really led the forces of Israel. And the Lord told you, 'You will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You will be Israel's leader.'" And so there at Hebron, King David made a covenant before the Lord with all the elders of Israel, and they anointed him king of Israel. Now watch this. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in all. He reigned over Judah from Hebron for 7 years and 6 months, and from Jerusalem he reigned over all of Israel and Judah for 33 years. David then led his men to Jerusalem to fight against the Jebusites, the original inhabitants of the land who were living there. And the Jebusites taunted David, saying, "You will never get in here, David, because even the blind and the lame could keep you out." For the Jebusites thought that they were safe. But David captured the fortress of Zion, which is now called the City of David. And on the day of the attack, David said to his troops, "I hate those lame and blind Jebusites." He turned it around. He turned the insult around on them. "Whoever attacks them should strike by going into the city through the water tunnel." And so David made the fortress his home, and he called it the City of David. He extended the city, starting at the supporting terraces and working inwards. Verse 10, "And David became more and more powerful because the Lord God of heaven's armies was with him." I know that's a long story, but big, and we're going to come back around and explain some of that in more detail. But here's what I want to bring out of this story for all of us today. As we grow from children, as we move from being children and into our teen years, we all have desires. We all have dreams for the future. Even if one has never had an encounter or a relationship with God, we are born inside of it. It's born into us with an innate desire to pursue the passions that have been placed inside of us. In fact, Shiloh recently put together a questionnaire for a group of the leaders that serve here at the Lifeway. And one of the questions that she put in this thing was, "What is your greatest fear? What is your greatest fear?" And one person responded, they responded by saying, "Dying without making an impact." Another person's greatest fear was being normal. Listen, we all want to make a difference. Every one of us in this room, we all want to leave a mark. We all want our life to matter and have significance. But somewhere along the way, something changes. Life happens. Tragedies occur. People disappoint us. People hurt us. The fruit of our poor decisions comes back and it begins to haunt us. And because things didn't unfold the way that they thought that we were, the way that we thought that they would, we end up settling for so much less than what God has placed inside of us. And so in this story that we just read, David finds himself at a crossroads. He had been promised, he had been anointed to be king over the entire nation of Israel, but yet he spent years on the run, going from mountain to mountain and wilderness to wilderness and cave to cave, hiding to stay alive. And due to the difficulties in his life, it would have been so easy for him to give up on pursuing his calling and pursuing the anointing and pursuing the dream that God had placed on his life. And even though it wasn't all of Israel, David eventually became king. He had a home. He had all that money could buy. He had people that worked to serve at his beck and call. He finally had peace in his life after years of running and years of fighting. Quite frankly, for most of us in this room, if we would have been in David's shoes, it would have made sense for us just to simply stay where we're at. After 7.5 years, of being king in Hebron. He could have settled for simply ruling Judah, but David knew that God had called him for more. And this is still true today. Everybody wants Jerusalem. Everybody wants to achieve their dreams and their aspirations, but so many of us, so many people, we settle for less. We stop at Hebron. We settle for good enough. But I want to challenge you this morning. There must come a point in our lives when we take the step of faith, when we move out and say, you know what, God, I will not settle. I want everything that you promised for me. I'm willing to leave what is comfortable in order to pursue what seems impossible. And so this morning, I want to share with you three thoughts on taking our Jerusalem. Three thoughts on taking our Jerusalem. Here's the first one. The first blank in your outline says this. Number one, you must fight for it. You must fight for it. Verse 6 says, then David then led his men to Jerusalem to fight against the Jebusites. I want you to notice, David wasn't willing to sit idly by. He boldly went to take possession of God's promise to him. And I wonder how many of us in this room this morning are sitting back and we're just waiting for God to do what he already said that he was going to do in our lives. And we're sitting back saying, okay, any day now, God, is today the day? And God's simply up there and he's waiting on us and he's thinking probably, I've already told you my plan. I've already placed the dream inside of you. I've given you the gifts and the skills necessary to succeed. I've got all the provision that you will ever need prepared for you. You just got to take the step. We got to take the step of faith. And so this morning, let me ask a few questions. What do you need to fight for? Maybe your marriage. Maybe a rewarding career where you make a difference. Maybe your children. Maybe some of us in this room need to re-engage in the cause of Christ. Some of us need to go after the social issues that move us on the inside. I love the fact that once David captured Jerusalem, he renamed it the City of David. In other words, David said, I'm going to claim what was rightfully mine from the very beginning. And so as a church, I wonder if there's anyone who's willing to stand up and say, you know what? I am sick and tired of all of the violence. I'm sick and tired of the racism. I'm sick and tired of the hatred. I'm done with divorce and the sex trafficking and the drug overdoses and the crime and the shootings that are happening all around our area. I will not sit idly by. I'm going to attack the stronghold of the enemy. I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to pray. I'm going to intercede. I'll go. I'll give. I'll serve. Jesus, just use me to make a difference. I want you to understand this morning, the battle that we face is real. Every day, people in our community are breathing their last breath, and some of them are slipping into eternity without knowing Jesus Christ. And the real question that we have to ask is, what are we as the church going to do about it? Listen, we get so afraid to claim the land. I understand when there's a God dream before you, it's bigger than what you can accomplish on your own. I understand. I know it because we've walked it. And it can be so hard to take that step because, God, I just don't see how it's all going to work out. But listen, I've read the end of the book. I've read the back of this book. And let me tell you the story. It's a fixed fight. We win. We're on the winning team. We've been given authority. Listen to what 1 John 4:4 says. But you belong to God, my dear children. You already, somebody say already. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives where? In you is greater than the spirit that lives in the world. So when the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us, when it's active in our life, listen, there is nothing that you cannot accomplish, and there's nothing as a whole, as a group, that we cannot accomplish. Teddy Roosevelt said, nothing in the world is worth having or worth doing unless it means effort, pain, and difficulty. I want you to understand that challenging the status quo in a wicked culture will not be easy. But we should take comfort. Romans 8:31, a great verse. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Anything worth having is not going to come without a fight, so don't settle. Don't settle. Come on, somebody, fight for it. Be willing to take the challenge. Here's the second thought when it comes to taking Jerusalem, number two, and that is you must deal with your past. You must deal with your past. Going on in verse 6, it says the Jebusites taunted David, saying, "You'll never get in here. Even the blind and lame could keep you out." Some Bible scholars believe that this particular insult was extremely intentional. They weren't just throwing out random names. It's thought that they were mocking the heritage of Israel. That because throughout the Old Testament, you'll read about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And so this first insult was referring to Isaac, who was a patriarch in the nation of Israel, who was blind late in his life. The lame was an insult to Jacob, who walked with a limp after wrestling with God literally for the rest of his life. And so I want you to know that when you decide to fight for it, when you decide not to settle, the devil is going to throw it in your face. He's going to take your past and every mistake you've done, and he's going to push it after you, and he's going to say, look what you did here, and look at what you did there. He's going to pull out every lie that he can about the bad things that you've done. Why does he do this? So that we will disqualify ourselves. Most of us in this room, God hasn't disqualified us. We've disqualified ourselves because of the mistakes that we've made, and he's doing this to get us to settle for less than we can be. And that's why the second part of our purpose, you hear it every single week, our service hosts up here, we exist as a church. The second reason is to help everybody in this room find freedom. Because listen, if we don't deal with the past, it's going to affect our present as well as our ability to make an impact in the future. And so life groups are so important here at the Lifeway. They're the way that we connect with other believers who can walk with us and challenge us and help us find freedom, help us overcome the mistakes of our past. Listen, if you're not in a life group and this is your church home, come January, I may just start calling you myself saying, what group are you in, all right? We need to be in a life group. We need each other. Because amen. Because if we don't find freedom from our past, we're going to be a shell of who we can be, who we were meant to be. 1 Peter 5:8 warns us, stay alert. In other words, pay attention. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Listen, we cannot be ignorant of the devil's schemes. He's going to try to use your past to stop you. And so to take our Jerusalem, we must be willing to fight for it. We must deal with our past. Here's the last one, number three. We must be willing to get dirty. We must be willing to roll up our sleeves and get dirty. Watch this, verse 8, David says, whoever attacks them should strike by going into the city through the water tunnel. I just want to pause here because this isn't as pretty as it sounds. These water tunnels were essentially large gutters. They were a crude sewer system. These tunnels were the place where people would discard their dirty water. It was where animal waste and human excrement was dumped. And so David was saying, I am so convinced about what God has called me to do that I'm literally willing to crawl through the crap in order to get there. Yes, I said crap in church. Sometimes we just got to be real with it. Listen, I want you to hear me. Hear me this morning. I love you so much. In order for us to step into our destiny, some of us need to eliminate some junk and garbage in our lives. Some of us got some bad habits that we need to work through and eliminate and things that we can cut out of our lives. Listen, you may not be sitting here and say, well, Pastor, I've read the book and I'm not really sinning. Listen, there may be somebody in your social circle that's hindering you from reaching your destiny. Maybe you're sitting here and you've allowed this device and social media, or maybe it's video games or sports or shopping or whatever it is, to become a priority in your life at the expense of your walk with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're sitting here and you've allowed yourself to become a slave to money and debt, and debt is completely ruling and controlling your life instead of just stepping back and getting that corrected so you can steward the resources that God has entrusted you to make a difference. Some of us need to step away from the video games or the TV and pick up a book and learn something new that will prepare us to move into our Jerusalem. Listen, it's likely that your current level of devotion with God, in other words, what's worked in the past, what's worked when you were in Hebron, won't be enough to get you to your Jerusalem. And here's what I've learned. Everybody wants the fruit. Everybody wants to taste what's good. Everybody wants success. But most people settle for less because they're unwilling to work on the tree that produces the fruits. So I want to challenge you this morning. Work on the tree. Work on the man. Work on the woman. Become who God has called you to be. So this morning, the question I have to ask is, will you settle? Or are you willing to deal with your junk? Are you willing to crawl through the mess to get dirty in order to step into your full potential? I believe God today is wanting to speak to our hearts, to stir us. I believe if you just close your eyes and listen to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to get across through this message today, He's letting us know that Jerusalem is worth it. Jerusalem is worth the fight. And as individuals and as a church, we have a choice. We can stay in Hebron, or we can move out and we can go for Jerusalem. We can sit back and we can be comfortable in the way that we've always done things, or we can aggressively go and we can possess the land that God has called each and every one of us to claim. Many of us will go home today. We'll sorrowfully watch our Packers. And when you watch football, every once in a while, you'll see one of those 60, 70, 80-yard plays. Maybe it's a huge hole and the running back just takes off. Maybe it's that bomb and they're going for the end zone, and just as they get there, they're tackled and they're down at the 1 yard line. And like, you're so excited, right? Because it was a big play, but then you're so disappointed because they were so close. And no matter what team you follow, we've all seen this, right? Well, okay, no big deal. They got 3 downs to get it in. First down, the running back goes and boom, they hit that wall and they're knocked back. Second down, hand it off the other way, and the running back goes, and boom, they get driven back. And then third down, the quarterback drops back. He throws it, and the lineman sticks his hand up and knocks the pass down. Fail, fail, fail. So the coach sends out the kicking team, sends out the field goal kicker, and usually that close, they never miss, unless you're a Vikings fan, but yeah. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. But what do the commentators say every time that happens? They settled for a field goal. They settled for less than what they could have had. I wonder how many games have been lost because of that decision to settle. Really, here's the crux of this message. This is why this message is so important. Let's go all the way back to verse 1, the first verse we read in this story. It says, "Then all of the tribes of Israel went to David and they told him, 'We are your own flesh and blood.'" And these people were asking David, "Hey, we're family. Do you love me enough to fight for me? Are we important enough for you to leave the comforts of your palace in Hebron?" And David could have said, "You know what? I'm done fighting. I've run for so long. I'm tired and I'm weary and I need rest. I've served my time. Can't you find another warrior? Can't you ask someone else?" But David, He looked at them, I believe, with compassion in his heart, and he saw their worth. He saw their value, and I believe that God has called our church. Listen, I believe that God has called the Lifeway to not just pastor what happens within these four walls. God has called us to pastor and reach our city. God has called us to fight for those who cannot fight for themselves. And there are thousands of people around us who are crying out to God for help, and they're crying out to be rescued. People whose marriages are broken, their families are falling apart. People who are addicted to drugs and alcohol and pornography. There are those all around our neighborhoods who are facing all sorts of mental struggles, depression and anger and anxiety, even facing suicidal thoughts. Listen, Jesus is the only answer. And we're not here by mistake this morning. We have been placed strategically here to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. And one day, we're going to plant campuses, Lifeway campuses, all around Metro Milwaukee and even into southeastern Wisconsin. But in order to get to that place, we've got to be willing to leave the comforts of Hebron. We've got to be willing to leave the comfort of the status quo. And so this morning, I want to wrap up this message by talking about our legacy offering, which is going to be happening 2 weeks from today, Sunday, December 16th. The legacy offering is really a special offering that we give above and beyond what we normally bring. And we typically do it in December just as a way to say, hey, God, we're here. Christmas really is your birthday. And so while we're running around buying gifts for everybody, let's just pause and remember that you are the reason for the season. God, I want to bring something to you. And so in the past, I've communicated the purpose of the legacy offering was to position us to be ready to respond to any God opportunities that might arise in the next year. In fact, 2 years ago, we had no permanent office space. I was always working in the basement of my home. We didn't have adequate space for things like encounter night and our youth gatherings and our team training sessions. And in fact, this amazing worship band that's up here, I can't tell you how many times we were in the garage, literally an external garage, practicing with gloves on because it was like 47 with the little heaters on that we had in the room. And so we in the second quarter of 2017, an opportunity presented itself for us to rent what you now hear us refer to as our HQ building. And we were able to act on that great opportunity only because of the legacy offering that had come the prior December. And so over the years, we've used portions of that legacy offering to support hurricane relief and other pastors who were going through difficult situations and churches and various missions efforts. But for the last couple of months, God has been stirring my heart to take a big step of faith and do something different with this legacy offering. Since we've launched this church in October of 2014, we've met here at Nathan Hale School, High School, every Sunday morning. We've seen 63 people get baptized. There have been over 869 times that people have said, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus, or yes, I'm going to renew my commitment to follow him. And so God's been able to accomplish so much with us only having access to this facility for just a few hours a week. But just imagine what God could do. Imagine the difference that we could make if we had a facility of our own that we had access to 24/7, 365 days a year. Now I want you to understand that we don't want to have a building just for the sake of having one. In fact, Shyla and I, we didn't plant this church to buy property and accumulate property. Listen, a building has never been the goal, and a building will never be the goal of this church. We planted this church to reach people who need Jesus. A building is simply a tool to help us reach them. So when I think of the word legacy, I think of leaving a mark. I think of leaving something that outlasts me. And as I consider a permanent home for the Lifeway, I get this picture in my mind of the scene that we watched at the beginning of this message, the sermon bumper video. There would be these land rushes where for the promise of a brighter future, individuals would rush out to claim a spot on the wild frontier, and they would get to that spot and they'd take their flag and they'd drive that flag into the ground. And I just love the imagery of that, because I see a building for the Lifeway Church as a notice to Satan. We are putting a stake in the ground. We're not going anywhere. We're going to take up permanent residence. We are here to restore hope and love and peace that the enemy has stolen and taken away from so many people. And while we don't have any imminent deals at the moment, I want you to hear that. We don't have any imminent deals at the moment. I believe that God has the perfect facility already in line for us. But he's willing for us to take the step of faith. And I've seen this happen over and over and over again in my life, where God was simply waiting, saying, Andrew, when are you going to do it? And as soon as I did it, boom, the miraculous was waiting right there. And while I'm extremely thankful for Nathan Hale, and I'm thankful for all that God has done and will continue to do here, I believe that God has more for us as a church, and we cannot settle. Amen. So with that in mind, I believe that God is calling us to give sacrificially. So as a church family, I'm just going to ask you to go home. Listen, if you're a guest here, we didn't ask you to come for this. You just happened to come on Family Sunday, so to speak. But if this is your church home, the number that God just keeps dropping in my mind over and over, I believe that as a church family, we need to raise $100,000 in this legacy offering to set aside specifically for our future home. Because this will put us in the position to begin to have conversations to get a lease or even the ability to purchase our own building. And so you just talk to the Lord, and however he leads you will be perfect. However God directs you to give will be absolutely perfect. And so the question is this morning, are we willing to leave the comforts of Hebron in order to achieve Jerusalem? Is anyone willing to come and drive the stake in a little bit further? To let the devil know that, listen, I don't intend to settle. I intend to reach my destiny. With every head bowed, every eye closed. As I close this morning, you might be here. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you've settled to live a life apart from Jesus Christ. And if that's where you find yourself this morning, listen, there's no guilt, no condemnation here. There's great hope, because that can all change in just an instant. All you have to do is repent and turn from your sin and make a move towards Jesus. The Bible tells us that he is, when we do that, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us. And all you have to do is give him your life, and he'll take the hurt, the pain, every sin you've ever committed, and he'll give you a fresh start. So if you're ready to make that choice today, I'd love to pray for you. So without hesitation, no one looking around, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, why don't you just lift your hand so I can pray for you? Thank you. I see your hand here. Thank you. 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 This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's all pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the power of your word. Lord, and I thank you for every hand that has been raised, every hand that's been lifted. And Lord Jesus, right now, just collectively as a church, we come alongside every individual who raised their hand, and today we make the choice. We say, today, God, we're going to stop walking our own way, and we're going to move towards you. We repent. Forgive us of every bad thing, every sin that we've ever committed, Lord Jesus. Wash us and cleanse us. Lord, thank you for new life. Thank you for changing us, Lord God. Thank you for dying on a cross that we might be set free. Lord, I pray for every individual in this room this morning. Lord, there are those, as this message has gone forth today, that know that they've settled for short of what you've called them to be. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd give us courage, strength, and faith to move towards those things and press forward Lord Jesus, that we would become world changers, that you would use us as individuals and, Lord, collectively as your church, as the body of Christ, to be your hands and be your feet. We ask all of this in your amazing name. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.